Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
One thing I talked a little bit about last night, but I want to make sure that I just mention this morning, because I know it's a theme of this house. And one of the themes is unity, one of the themes is family, and one of the themes is sonship. And the word sonship is not just for men. It's kind of like the bride of Christ. It means it's for men and women. And that subject of sonship is actually for all ages. And it's a book that I just recently wrote. It's about King David and his 20 sons. How many of you knew King David had 20 sons? Man, he was getting, okay, anyhow. We talk about those sons and how only truly one reigned. And what a tragedy that there are moments in the Bible that mention that these are the sons of David that were born to him in Hebron. And it actually says their names, yet we hear nothing else about them. Can you imagine their dad has the DNA of a giant killer. They have the DNA of one of the greatest worship leaders of all time. If he was getting royalties today for the songs that he wrote, come on, he'd be doing pretty well. He was an amazing builder of God's house, yet so many of his sons actually, in a sense, aborted their destiny and never walked in it. And that's not what the Bible has told us as sons and daughters. Sons and daughters are always called to go further than our spiritual fathers and mothers, because he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every single generation is supposed to increase. Come on, Elijah did this amount of miracles, but Elisha did double. Jesus even says, come on, you will do even greater works. And so this book, I believe, would be a blessing to you in this house. We have it on paperback. We also have it on audiobook and ebook, and all the proceeds go towards feeding hungry children. We have three kids. One is 19, one is 16, and one is 10. So please buy the books. Also, you'll be doing us a big favor, because every time we travel, we get these fees in Australia, because we're American, we don't know how to pack. It's called excess baggage fees, and you could really help us by getting one of those books. So who would like one of these? Who would like one of these? Okay, great. They will be in the information area. And you can just grab one of those. You didn't know it was stand-up morning, did you? Stand-up comedian. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Worship team, if you could come up here with like 10 minutes of my time left, or I will preach all day. And then I won't be invited back next time, because they'll say you already spoke last time, two sessions. So let's just get into this. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 44 through 46 says this, and as it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, this is Elijah, say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This morning, I want to talk about supernatural strength and getting from where you're at to where you need to be. Can we pray? Holy Spirit, we thank you for an incredible conference. We thank you this morning as we get into your word. It's your word that renews our mind. It's your word that increases our faith. The psalmist said if we can get your word in our heart, it'll keep us from sinning against you. And so we pray that we don't just get information, but we would have transformation this morning. We pray that we don't just have a couple points and go home. No, God, we want to leave different than how we came in. And I pray that you would, I know your word's anointed. Now would you anoint me to proclaim it in a way that would cause us to leave changed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. The Bible is actually full of stories of people running. In fact, we have a story once of Joseph when he runs away from Potiphar's wife who's trying to get him to sin. This is the first story of cougars in the Bible. Like, he's taken off. We hear in the Bible there is the stories of David. David actually, the Bible says, ran towards Goliath. He ran towards the enemy. We see that Philip in the New Testament ran alongside the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch and then was baptized. We know that the Bible says that Peter outran John to the grave, or John kind of puts it that he got there, but Peter went in first. And then we know that Paul used so many examples in the New Testament of running the race. And I'm one of those weird people that likes to run. Anybody like to run in here? Come on. And how many of you hate those people that like to run? Yeah, I knew it. And I like to run, whether it's on a treadmill or outside. It's just a great stress release. It's the time I listen to my daily devotions, listen to podcasts, and I just kind of like it. And I have actually run the New York City Marathon 2 times. In fact, Brad, they give you a medal when you finish the New York City Marathon. And every time I've ran and got the medal, I have worn the medal for like 2 weeks in a row. Just everywhere I go, I just kind of have it on. And did that slip out? Because I ran the marathon. In fact, 1 year I was running the marathon and we were doing something at the church, and it was kind of like a missions thing. And so what we had planned is that at mile 9, we would tell it like almost live stream back to the church. And we had it all planned out. We had our video team. We had the ones with the satellite link, and they were going to shoot us. And I had it in my mind, right? Like, because you see things sometimes in your mind, right? Like you see it, like your hair's going back like Fabio, and you're like, and I was going to say to the church, you know, just something, you know, really quintessentially just awesome, like, come on, run the race, and God can help you, and, you know, I had it all down, and so we were going to do that. We were going to stream it to the church because it was on a Sunday that we were running, and we had this whole thing planned at mile 9. So we had a team where they were at in New York, and I was going to run by them, say hello to the church, tell them that, come on, we can get behind this, we can go, we can see all these things. And so I was running, and I'm doing it. I'm looking at mile 9. Well, unbeknownst to me, what happens when you run, when there's 50,000 people, when they say start, it took 45 minutes when they said go for me to just get to the starting line because there were 50,000 people. And so you're just kind of like, this is fun. This isn't that difficult. I can do this. And so then it starts to kind of break up, and you kind of find yourself in packs because of just how it is, and you get kind of stuck in groups of people running a certain pace. And I wasn't really paying attention. I just knew mile 9, Israel. Remember mile 9. And so I had gotten myself in a group of people, and I'm just kind of concentrating, just kind of running, making sure that I'm on the right pace, and I'm not going too fast, not going too slow. And what I didn't realize is I had gotten myself with a bunch of ladies who were running for breast cancer awareness. which is an incredible thing to be running for, bringing awareness to the situation. But what I didn't know is that mile 9, they had like a only way to say it properly in church is they had like bedazzled their sports bras and putting like words on them that like say stuff like running for breast cancer awareness and all these different things. And at mile 9, they were taking off their shirts to show the world why they were running. And I didn't know. I just thought I was with a good group of people and just kind of running. And here I am. And it's mile 9, and my wife is there, and you know, and my kids are there. You know, my kids are like, Hercules, Hercules. You know, that's dad. And my wife is like, oh, he's so fine running in those shorts. And I'm just thinking this moment, we're going to stream to the church, and everybody is going to be like, yay. And it's going to be a God moment. People will be filled with faith. And at mile 9, right as I'm about to say hello to the church, all these ladies, woo! What do you do? So I just took off my shirt and went, woo! I love this text. See if I can segue this. I love this text because the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord, the power of God, comes on Elijah and he outruns Ahab's chariot from Mount Carmel all the way to Jezreel. Here is, again, Ahab, the most evil king in the history of Israel. He's the one who took things, that whatever he wanted, it seemed like he got what he wanted. And then now is this other man of God trusting God. And the Bible says that the power of God comes upon him. And they're at Mount Carmel, but Elijah runs in front of the chariot and gets from Mount Carmel all the way to Jezreel. Now I had to, today, I had to look this up because I only know miles. And I don't know why Americans do miles when the rest of the world does kilometers. But anyhow, I had to look it up. It is 17 miles or 27.3588 kilometers away was where Jezreel was from Mount Carmel. And I looked up what the archaeologist will say, what a chariot at that time's speed was capable of. And they vary, and they say it would probably be 24 kilometers per hour up to 48 kilometers per hour, which is interesting to me because the 100-meter dash, the world record, is 9.58 seconds, which translates to about 38.6243 kilometers per hour. I'm such a nerd. And which would be right in that framework of average, middle. So I'm guessing, again, we won't know till we get to heaven and watch it on Blu-ray, but from what we can tell is Elijah was running at a world record pace and a world record speed, but not only for 10 seconds, but at that kind of speed, it would have gone exactly 27 minutes and 5 seconds of world-class record speed to get from Mount Carmel all the way to Jezreel because the power of God came upon him. And I'm here from Los Angeles to tell somebody that when the power of God gets upon you, you can get from where you're at to where God wants you to be, and you can get there quicker, faster, and better than what the world could do. I got 3 amens. I'm going to have to preach harder in here. I love that. I love that he was able to go at a supernatural speed. And one of the things that we do is we live in a world that is go, go, go. Get. And if we find ourselves living to that postmodern mentality, we will always, in a sense, be stuck and grouped with the world, trying to get from where we're at to where we're supposed to be, and we'll have to always do it on that timing. But like Elijah, when we rely on the supernatural power of God, he can get us from where we're at now to supernaturally where we're supposed to be, and he can speed up the process. I'm wondering if there's anybody in here that doesn't want to wait 20 years to have a good marriage today. I'm wondering if there's anybody in here that wants to begin to be used by God today. Come on. I wonder if there's anybody in here this morning that would say, there's some things God has put in my heart, and I believe he's going to do it supernaturally so that I can get from where I'm at to where I'm supposed to be. Come on, push your neighbor and say, God's gonna do it. I love it. Supernatural speed. I love it because if you look at the topography from where Mount Carmel is to Jezreel, it is a mountain that they've got to cascade down. The terrain is sharp turns. The terrain has hills. The terrain has flats. And here, look at, is Elijah. Run, Forrest, run. A chariot, and he's having to change speeds. He's having to change hills, go up hills and go down hills. And in life, there will always be obstacles. There will always be something in our topography that will be different. Everything is not always flat and smooth and no wind. No, there will be some hills. There will be some mountains. There will be some things that we have to navigate that we didn't see coming. But the power of God came upon Elijah, and he outran the horses, outran the chariots, went up and down, and was able to get through it. Come on! How awesome is it that the power of God is available to us to navigate through life's difficult situations? Come on, you might have a difficult situation at your work. You might have a difficult situation on how do I navigate this in a relationship. When you've got some hills and valleys, the Bible says that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, meaning this, all of us are going to face some issues. All of us are going to face some resistance. It's not always going to be easy being a Christ follower, right? Just because you're a Christ follower doesn't make everything easy. You get the good parking spot, come on. You get everything on sale. Every time you get free coffee. No, the reality is life is difficult. It's full of hills, it's full of valleys. But when the supernatural power of God comes upon us, he causes us to move through it with his supernatural strength. Anybody need some supernatural strength this morning? Come on, anybody need some supernatural strength? Why don't you lift up those hands towards heaven? Say, come on, lift up those hands towards heaven. Say this with me. Say, Father God, I thank you. By faith, right now, supernatural strength is coming my direction. I believe I'm gonna get there sooner because of your power. Because of your power, I believe you'll help me navigate the landscapes, the difficult terrains of life. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. I don't think he wore Nikes. I don't think he had Adidas, or we say in the States, Adidas. I don't think he had Pumas on. Probably just a pair of sandals, flip-flops, thongs? Is that what y'all call them? Oh, weird thing to call that. What? I won't even go there. I don't know. Here's this great man of God, and here's this evil guy named Ahab. And Ahab's got a chariot. Ahab's got horses. And Elijah, these weren't his running shoes. These were his Sunday shoes, right? They had just had church. But it doesn't matter what the resources you have when the power of God comes upon you. Come on, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Not we can do all things through Christ. If we have the right provision, then we can do it. And too many people are paralyzed because of the current resources that they have. And instead of walking and believing and stepping out into the purpose of God, all they do is look at what they don't have and look at what everybody else has. That's the problem with social media today, is all we do is see people's good moments, and then we wonder, when are we going to have ours? And we get all depressed and get all upset. Thank God Elijah didn't look at his Instagram and see the newest wheels and chariot that Ahab had. Though, you know, he had some 20-inch rims. Come on, and he was no. He just set forth the course that he had and didn't care about what everybody else had. He just focused on where he was supposed to go. And come on, we can do so much more if we don't limit ourselves because we look at our current limitations and our current maybe financial situations. Come on, I love it. He had limited resources, yet he still, in a sense, beat the most wealthy man in his nation to the final destination. Come on, how many of you need some supernatural strength to get through some situations? Three of you, the rest of you are so blessed. Come on, how many of you need God to show up in your life? Is that all right? I love that the Bible said that he ran through the storm. Now remember, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. When it starts to rain, how many of you know the soil is not even ready for it? In fact, the worst things that sometimes happen is when there's been a drought, an increase of rain, because then it washes away all the soil. So he's not just running in perfect conditions. No, he's running in a storm, running in the mud, running with the wind, running, and he's just able to go through it. And like I said earlier, all of us are going to probably face some storms in our life. Rachel, my wife, said this, as we moved to Los Angeles to start our church, and the first week we were unopening our boxes of moving in, we get a call that Rachel's mother had passed away. You know, in the last 5 years, Rachel has lost her mom, Rachel has lost her dad, Rachel has lost her grandparents, and Rachel has lost two sisters. That like she said, she's now professional at funerals. She's a professional at it. I, at the same time, did my biological mom's funeral, whom I've never met. Never met. The one that abandoned me, they found out she died and then asked me to do the funeral. Talk about awkward. But we're all gonna face some storms. We're all gonna face some mud, come on. We're all gonna face some resistance. But what I like about Elijah is the storm did not dictate him getting to the other side. I love the New Testament where there was a storm and Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And it says they got to the other side. I'm here to tell somebody that your storm is only temporary. Your storm is not gonna affect your future and your destiny. You are gonna get through this season. You're gonna get through this pain. You're gonna get through this moment. You're going to get through the resistance. And I'm telling you, greater is he that is in you than anything that is in the world. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Come on. God is going to see you through this storm and you will get to your prophetic future. High five your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you. High five your other neighbor and say, but he better hurry. He only has 5 more minutes. I love this story, Pastor Brad, because He is physically and spiritually drained at the time. You know, we know the story. He's just killed 400 prophets of Baal. He has just prayed for rain, and it has never rained for 3.5 years. He's just called down fire. Come on, this guy's exhausted. Think about all the great action movies. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Rambo, Adrian, Rocky, and Wax On, Wax Off, Karate Kid. I know I'm dating myself. But 400 prophets of Baal. I don't think they all came up and like, okay, Elijah, you can kill me. They're probably trying to get away. They're trying to fight. And Elijah's going Jackie Chan on them, right? Ah! Bruce Lee. Ah! Oh, no, that's Karate Kid. Okay. I get him confused. But he just killed 400 prophets of Baal. I don't know how many calories that was, but I believe he burned a lot of calories that day. So he's worn out physically. He's worn out, in a sense, maybe even spiritually. Sometimes at a conference, at a conference, it's the last day or the next day, I'm so full to capacity. I've received so much that I'm like, in a sense, just like, how do I digest all of this? How do I implement it? And you can almost have a post-conference fatigue, and you could be tired. But guess what? That's not what the Bible says happened to Elijah. And guess what? That doesn't happen to us. We don't have to be like, oh, that was the longest week of my life, and that guy preached so long, and his jokes weren't even funny. No. The power of God comes upon Elijah, and even though he was tired, and even though he was fatigued, the power of God is still available. In fact, in the New Testament, it says this: in my weakness, I am made strong. And so for every volunteer and everyone that's been fasting and everyone that's been praying and everyone that's been seeking God, can I tell you that the power of God is available this morning to supernaturally charge us, fill us, and keep us going forward? Come on, can you lift up those hands towards heaven? Come on, lift up those hands towards heaven. Say, Holy Spirit, by faith, right now, I receive your supernatural power. Come on, anybody say amen to that? Come on, anybody receive that right there? I love it, I love it, I love it. I also love the fact that this story is written about Elijah and not written about me. And why I say that is, most of us know there's a word called justification, and there's a word called sanctification. And when we're justified by Christ, all of us that are Christ followers have been justified by Christ and his sacrifice. How many are so thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? How many of you know you didn't earn it? Come on. How many of you know you didn't deserve it? Come on. How many of you thank God that you've been justified? But there's another thing called sanctification. And sanctification is not a one-time thing. Justification has already been done. Sanctification is the process of becoming more and more like Christ. And I've been justified, but I still have some areas to be sanctified. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like when I'm on the 405, which is the freeway in Los Angeles, and I'm in traffic and people cut me off and they don't use their blinker and they honk their horn, I have been justified, but I haven't necessarily always been sanctified, because I don't want to pray for them and anoint them. I would like to let them know what hell is going to feel like. How many of you still got some areas of sanctification in your life? And if your neighbor didn't raise the hand, they're lying. Come on, how many of you still got some areas that need to be sanctified? And the reason why I'm glad it wasn't me in this text is I'm just imagining it. I just killed 400 prophets of Baal. It has not rained for 3.5 years because of this knucklehead that is behind me on a horse in a chariot. and I'm running. Like, what? Shouldn't you be in front? And shouldn't I be in the chariot? And all of us have these moments that we can be offended because of circumstances like this. And it would have been so easy for Elijah to be offended that why am I running when all of this is because of you? And the Bible says this, great peace have those who love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. Unfortunately, I've met a lot of Christians that are still offended at the position they're in or the situation they find themselves in, and they're always looking around and blaming somebody else and mad at somebody else, still talking about 1978, what happened then, and still upset. And I'm not discounting the hurt, and I'm not discounting the pain, but somewhere along the way, you've got to stop being offended and stop being hurt and get your eyes on where you're going and forget the rest and just go on to your purpose. Isn't it interesting that the automobile companies have really, really focused on having a huge front windshield and a tiny rearview mirror? Because they understand it's so important to be able to see where you're going. And it's not quite as important to look behind and see who's behind you. I'm not saying that what's behind you is not important and what you've been through is not important. But you know what? It's so much more important to begin to forgive, to begin to say, God, that's in the past. Leaving those things behind, I press towards the mark of the high calling. And every one of us has had a moment that would be so easy to get offended, so easy to get hurt, so easy to be like, Ahab, what are you doing? You knucklehead. You should run. Give me the chariot. But he didn't. He just ran ahead and said, you know what? God will take care of all that. I just got to run my race. I don't have to run anybody else's race. I'm just going to run my race. And sure enough, supernatural power came upon Elijah. And he ran all the way from Mount Carmel, all the way to Jezreel. And he outran Ahab. And not once had to punch him. Not once had to take over the chariot. He just focused on his future and didn't really pay much attention to what had happened in his past. And I don't know who you are, but I just believe today is a supernatural day of being healed, forgiving, getting rid of bitterness, and saying, I'm not gonna let others keep me from my race. I am gonna be who God has called me to be. Come on, somebody, say amen. I wrote just one last thing. I wrote that he was destined to actually run fast. I looked up from where Elijah was born. Elijah was from Gilead, east of the Jordan River, south of the Jabbok River, northeast of the Dead Sea. It's where the Bedouins lived, and the Bedouins were actually famous for training their horses and also training their own running ability. Much like today, the Ethiopians, who are producing world-class marathon runners, that area that Elijah was born into was actually historically known by theologians as a place that produced horses that had endurance and people that had endurance. Isn't it interesting that the power of God comes upon him and he actually knows what to do? He knows that if I've got God's strength, I can get from here to there, because he had been raised in an environment that understood the concept of endurance and understood the concept of pushing through. Because it was in his DNA, it was so easy to begin to walk in. And can I tell you, Horizon Church, you are spoiled spoiled, rotten. You don't even realize what you get every week. As a person who travels and a person that goes to conferences, it's fun to get to see different churches, but there are moments when you come into a church that you just want to slap people and go, you don't even realize how good you have it. You are actually being trained in your spirit to worship. You are actually being trained in your spirit to have faith. You are actually trained in your spirit to believe in miracles, even from the young kids to the very oldest, 107 years old. Come on. People are being taught that God is able, that miracles are relevant, that the Holy Spirit is needed. Don't you dare take it for granted, because you have been put in a church for a reason, because God has foreordained, because he knew what you were about to see and what you were about to be in and what you were about to face. And he says, Elijah, there will be a day that my spirit is going to come upon you, and you will be able to run with the horses. You will be able to do the impossible. Come on, Horizon Church. You're not here by accident. This is not by happenstance, but God has predestined and preordained this moment to be in this house at this moment, because the power of God is about to come on you. The power of God is about to inundate. The power of God is about to strengthen. Come on, it's not by accident. It's not by happenstance. Come on, would you stand with me? Would you lift those hands towards heaven? Would you say this with me? Say, Holy Spirit, I can't do this on my own. I need your spirit. I need your strength to heal me, to make me whole, to strengthen me, to get me to where I'm supposed to be. I believe I'm at the right place at the right time. You're training me for my future. And right now, by faith, in the name of Jesus, I receive your supernatural power, your dunamis power, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know one story I didn't tell you about my first marathon is I actually almost died of hypothermia, because I got there and I'd never run a marathon before, and I got there early, and that day in New York was a record low where there was ice and there was people that had gotten frostbite. It was negative degrees. I don't know the Celsius, but Fahrenheit, it was about 17 degrees Fahrenheit. And so it was, I'll give you what that is translated. It was really cold. And I got there in my shorts and my tank top, and I was just freezing. And it really was, it was critical, because I was starting to get really cold. I had nothing. And the only thing, I just was like, oh my goodness, what am I gonna do? And all these people that were there were in like coats, hats, gloves. Some even had sleeping bags. Some of them even had tents. And I was just, and it was starting to, I could tell, it wasn't that I was just cold. I could tell health-wise, this is not good for me. And I just was like, Holy Spirit, what do I do? And there was generators that were powering the lights. And I looked and I saw the exhaust that was coming out of the generators. And so I just went next to it, and it felt like a heater. But how many of you know you're really not supposed to breathe the stuff that comes out of the generators? But I was just like, it doesn't matter, I'm so cold. Anyhow, the race starts. And as the race starts, all these people that were wearing gloves are throwing their gloves on the ground, jackets on the ground, sleeping bags on the ground. And I'm like, what's going on? I asked one of the guys, they go, oh, it's a tradition that every time you run the New York City Marathon, you bring extra clothes and you just dump it while you start to run, and you give the clothes to the homeless. And I was freezing, and I'm sorry to tell one homeless guy in New York, but I took a pair of those gloves. By mile 7, come on, I finally gave it up. I started out that race so poorly, cold, in a crowd. Took 45 minutes. They said, on your marks, get set, go. We heard the go. Took 45 minutes to get to the start line because there were so many people. But you know what? It doesn't matter how you start. It matters. The award is how you finish. And I just tell you, after mile nine's fiasco, I told my kids, beat me at mile 26.2 and we'll make up for it. And I was starting to get tired at mile 25. But as you go into New York City and there are literally a million people cheering you on, and that last mile, like I'd been running like this, but the last mile, and I knew my kids were there, just taking off. Because it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. Would you close your eyes right now? Would you bow your head? I don't know where you're at now. I don't know what your start point is, but I do know what the book of Revelation says. And it says you've got a great finish. It says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And this morning, I don't know where you're at, but I can prophetically know where you're gonna end up. I know that you are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. I know that before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God had great purpose and destiny for your life. And so with every head bowed, all eyes closed, we talked about being strengthened supernaturally. Today I want to talk about, as I close, your personal relationship with Jesus. Not where you're at now, but I want to talk about how you're going to finish. And the way you finish strong is by not doing it on your own, but by doing it with the strength and the power of Jesus Christ. And so with every head bowed, all eyes closed, I don't know if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or this morning you would say, I need to rededicate. I need to reconnect. I'm away from Him, and I haven't started well. I've gotten confused on the way. I've tried to do it on my own throughout the course, but today I am not going to do it on my own anymore. I am going to finish the race that God has set before me, and I'm going to do it under His strength, under His power, and a relationship with Christ. I'm simply going to count to three, and if one of those two things are you, number one, you'd say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, or number two, I need to rededicate, recommit my life, I'm going to ask you to do something brave, and I'm going to ask you to do something bold. The Bible says that Elijah got in front of Ahab. I'm going to have you get in front of your purpose and your destiny by simply, I'm going to count to three, and when I say three, I want you to lift up your hand high enough and long enough so that I can see it and so that I can pray with you and I can pray for you. Because can I tell you, it doesn't matter where you're at right now in the race. I prophesy a relationship with Jesus will cause you to finish well. Come on, saints, we're praying. Come on, Christians, we're believing for people's lives to be changed. Come on, supernatural strength is coming upon all of us right now. But right now, this moment, we're talking about your relationship with Jesus. Come on, one, come on, two, come on, three. If any of those two things are you, just lift up that hand high enough and long enough so that I can see it. Yep, I see these hands there. Yep, I see these hands there. Come on, anybody else, just lift up that hand and wave it to me so that I know. Just high enough and long enough. Awesome. See those hands over there. Anybody else? Come on, just one, wait. Just a few more seconds. Anybody else? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Everybody say this prayer with me. Come on, everybody say this prayer with me. So awesome. Say, Jesus, I can't do it on my own. In fact, I've sinned. I've fallen short. I've missed the mark. Would you forgive me? Would you come into my life? Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? Would you be my friend? Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and on the third day, rising again so that I could live a transformed life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, what are they doing in heaven right now? Come on, what are they doing in heaven right now?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.